Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson there at the beginning of our bulletin. After the Sabbath, toward the first day of the week, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said." This is the text. And so the Bible says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." And that is appropriate, number one, in our day, when we see all around the world efforts from various nations, groups, trying to get peace among the nations. Appropriate in our families when there is strife and contention also in families. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's important. Important because, well, no matter how perfect an organization is, put people in there and see what happens. In theory, things may be absolutely right, but you get us in there and all things go wrong. Old saying, if you ever find a church that is perfect, don't join it. If you join it, it won't be perfect anymore. Okay? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so the title for the sermon is The Unexpected, and the disciples and the women and everybody else had no idea what was coming along that first Easter, did they? Think about how they were celebrating Easter. The first one, the women, on the way to the tomb, what were they doing? They were bringing spices and ointments, heavily perfumed stuff. Why? To anoint the body of Jesus, because the odor of flesh decaying is absolutely a horror. And because on the third day, the odor would have been horrendous. So that's how they're celebrating Easter. Getting ready to cover over the odor of the dead and decaying body of Jesus. Kind of got it wrong. Why'd they get it wrong? Because Christ is risen?
He is risen indeed.
I got it snuck by almost. Why'd they get it wrong? Because Christ is risen?
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
All right. The disciples. Are they any better? No, they're hiding in the upper room. Why are they hiding? Because their teacher is dead. And if they're found, they may be next. So they're going to step way to the side and not let anybody know that they were following him. They got it wrong. On the other hand, they got it exactly right, as normal events would have led. Because you see, they had seen the best one among us, the best one ever, get arrested and mocked and spit on and beaten and scourged and forced to carry his cross out to Calvary. And there the soldiers drove nails through his hands and his feet and hung him up to die. And they had watched all of this. And the only one in the whole history of the world that is truly worth following was then dead and in the tomb. So the whole thing is unexpected. Could not have seen this coming. And there's a point there. Because this is going to be the acts of God. that's going to be his doing, not ours. He doesn't wait for the women to be ready. He doesn't wait for the disciples to figure it out. He goes ahead and he does that work of salvation and does that breaking of death, accomplishes the whole thing on his own, and they follow along, tailing pretty far behind. There's another group celebrating the first Easter. They're standing outside the tomb. They've been posted there, and they're guarding. They're guarding the tomb. Why were they there? No. The Pharisees and the chief priests, after Good Friday, they remembered. They remembered something Jesus had said, that he would rise on the third day. And so, off to Pilate, and it's that deceiver said that he would rise on the third day. We need a guard. We need somebody posted at the tomb. If we don't have a guard at the tomb, his disciples, where they could come and steal the body, and then they could spread a lie all over the place saying that he was risen. So, let us have a guard. And Pilate agrees. A guard is posted. Pilate has them set the seal on the tomb. Don't break the seal. The entire force of the Roman government can come down on you if you break that seal. It's official. But think about it. What exactly were they guarding against? What weren't they guarding against? They were not guarding against the actual acts of God doing the resurrection. Well, nobody could guard against that, could they? They're guarding against disciples coming and stealing a body. Put it another way. They were guarding against a false and faked resurrection. Does anybody among us want a false and faked resurrection? I didn't think so. Now it gets interesting because somehow even his enemies, drafted into the service of God to stand there and be part of the proof that the resurrection is not a false or faked thing. That's what they've done for us. This is real. This is the rising of Jesus. This is God acting in our world. God changing everything, turning it all upside down, and now death is broken. And in the dying and rising of Jesus, that's your future. To be raised from the dead and to be transformed and glorious. That's what Paul says. Who will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself. It's in the letter to the Philippians. And now, what happens is that we have proof after proof after proof. Well, okay, so the women go to the tomb and they're told by the angel, and then on the way back, they see Jesus. They have that encounter with the living, risen Jesus. And the boldest, then, of his followers, who actually dared to go to the tomb, are coming with news. That everything they believed was wrong. He's not dead. He's alive. They go to the disciples. Do you remember how the disciples received the word from the women? The story seemed like nonsense to them. They check it out. They don't find the body. They're talking about this. Still not going to believe. Disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're walking along with Jesus. and one of the strangest encounters, they stand there and walk along with the risen Lord Jesus, and as they're going along, they tell him how disappointed they are in him because he's obviously not risen. And this fellow they're walking with obviously knows nothing about this Jesus. It's a very strange conversation. And he lets them carry on like that and then explains to them how this is the plan. The Christ had to suffer, die, rise. This is way far beyond what they thought it was all about. They may have thought that it was about having their homeland back, having peace in our time. No. It's about death and life. It's about eternity. It's about the battle between good and evil, between God and the forces of darkness. It is a battle for their life, for their rising from the dead. And then he breaks the bread with them and disappears. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us? Back to Jerusalem, and there's the 10 in the upper room. Thomas is missing. Jesus appears. When Jesus appears, then do they believe? No. No. Must be a ghost. Do you have anything to eat? They give him a piece of broiled fish. He eats it in front of them. More and more and more evidence and proof offered to these disciples who should have known. And finally, they believe. Time to head off and tell Thomas. Thomas, we saw him. We touched him. He ate in front of us. Unless I see with my own eyes, put my finger into the mark of the nail, I will not believe. And you notice, this is not a gullible bunch of people who are going to believe fairy tales, myths, nice happy stories. They've seen what life is and what life does to you. And they've got to see and know for themselves. And Jesus is equal to every question. And a week later, there's Thomas. And Jesus, with the invitation to reach out and touch his hands. Thomas doesn't need to at that point. My Lord and my God. And the reason why all of that is done is for us. For every one of us who goes through our days wondering, is God there for us? What does he have in mind? How do we face the doubts and the difficulties, the trials, the uncertainties of life? How do we deal with the questions that come up? And he's equal to all of that. This is our Jesus, who comes for us, who is our Lord, so that in the middle of all the confusion and all the mess of life, why? There is this one truth. And it's a truth that resounds through the history and through the world. Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yeah. And what he does, he sets in motion this resurrection. Sets it in motion. Paul calls him the firstborn from among the dead. Oh. Firstborn means there's more coming along. Age after age, generation after generation, there will be those who hear his word, connect with him, and have that resurrection planted in them. Let's say it a different way. The actual rising from the dead, that physical act, that's a physical and outward thing. And Jesus begins it on Easter. It sweeps through the world until finally every human being is touched by that. Even those who will not believe in Jesus are touched by that. And when he returns, there is nobody who is not called back to life. Some who will not believe in Jesus, called back to life to stand in front of the throne of God and hear judgment. But then there's us. We are those that are not only to be touched by the rising from the dead, but by the word of God that goes with it. See, the word of God is where he connects with us. His word spoken, words from Jesus Christ, from his lips, spoken out into the world, words of life and forgiveness and salvation and eternity, and those words spoken from his lips are then spoken into our ears. And they penetrate. And they go down to the deepest part of us. They enter the heart and the soul. And when the word from God connects to us and connects us to him, then his word does what it is sent to do. In the beginning, he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. But his word to us has to do with forgiveness and life and salvation. And when that word enters the soul, creates that spark of faith, joins and connects us with Jesus Christ, then his word brings that life to us. And it is the life that comes from God himself. It is the life that comes through that Easter rising of Jesus. And that life, bound up with his word, is a thing that will not let go of us, his people. His word's eternal. And when we are connected with that eternal word, we are connected for all of eternity with this Jesus Christ. That's why Easter is so amazingly sweet for us. Is the word of God spoken deep into our souls. That's why year after year in churches, we take the word of God and we speak it back and forth to each other, because that word of God takes a hold of the soul. That word of God that we can bind it all up together in just a few simple words. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.